in Navi Mumbai, India. I've been reminded every single day as I found strength of your prayers that went before me and sustained me. And I thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I thank God for His mercies in hearing your prayers and giving me the help to minister. It was a busy time, and it is good to be active in the Christian life. It is good, whatever God has equipped and given us to do, that we do it with all our strength and with all our might, that we know that the saving of our lives is not in self-preservation, but giving our lives and laying it down for the sake of Christ. It is the only way to live, is to lose ourselves for the purpose of Christ. And it is easy, however, as you know, many of you who are involved in so many ways actively in the service of Christ, whether it is in what we might call Christian ministry or whether it's just ministry for the sake of Christ in your homes as moms, as men in your workplaces, bringing glory to Christ by your life, it is easy for us to get caught up in our service and sometimes lose out on the main and important things. It's easy to, many times, I know myself, to give myself to teaching classes for 2 weeks and then to preach at chapels and to preach for 3 Sundays at the church in New Pondville and speak at a graduation and do all those things and yet not choose the good part. It's easy to be busy. The Christian life requires diligence. It requires activity. But the Christian life also expects devotion. It expects contemplation. It expects meditation. And I want us to look at a section of Scripture this morning. I'm going to get involved in a consecutive exposition of Scriptures next Lord's Day in 2 Thessalonians, if anybody's wondering where we're going. I thought I'd just finish it up next week. But I want us to look at a text of Scripture, and I hope you women will not groan as I go to it. It's out of Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42. It's the account of Martha. And I know many of you poor ladies have either had this stuck in your face or for some kind of reason, but it's not a message for Marthas. It's not a lesson just for women. It's not a lesson for harried housewives or those who are just consumed with hospitality. It is a lesson for all of us who seek to be faithful in the Christian life about really what is main and plain, what is necessary and what is good. And I want us to look at it. Luke is the only one that records this of all the gospel writers in verses 38 through 42 of Luke 10. And I want us to look at it as we would seek, as we desire to be faithful in the Christian life, not to give up the activity and service of the Christian life, also to remember what really is the ground and strength of that service and ministry. And it is what the Lord reminds Martha of here in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Let's read the Scripture. We'll read it, and then I'll pray. Now, as they were traveling along, He, that is the Lord Christ, entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word seated at His feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let us pray. Father, we come out of our lives that we would confess our busy lives. And Father, that we would also desire to confess busy, we trust, about the things that would please You. Lord, desiring to please You in the midst of our activities. Lord, we desire to be faithful servants, not wicked, lazy servants, but those who take the pounds and talents that You have committed to us, and Lord, use them in the anticipation of Your wonderful return and our accounting before You. Lord, we pray that You will help us to use this text just to keep our bearings, to keep our focus. Lord, to help us even in the midst of our service that it might arise out of the fact that we have not neglected that one necessary good thing. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Give me the grace to speak it faithfully and clearly, simply, and give us all the grace to take it to heart, not just simply to hear these things, but Lord, to apply them for your glory. Lord, for our own good, in Jesus' name, amen. Spurgeon said this, he said, no man can be spiritually healthy who does not meditate and commune. No man, on the other hand, is as he should be unless he is active and diligent in holy service. He puts them both together. There is the contemplative, Spurgeon says, and he says there is the active and there is the progressive. The difficulty is to maintain the two and to keep each in its relative proportion to the other. We must not be so active as to neglect communion, nor so contemplative as to become impractical. And that's very good advice. And it's in this set text here of Luke chapter 10 that we see how that is to get worked out. And I want us to look at this. How can we pass through a faithful Christian ministry and service and Christian life that is to be marked by diligence in devotion, also by a proper reflection upon the things that are needful? I want us to look at this text, first of all, I'm going to look at it under three headings, and first of all, the lively diligence or devotion that Martha manifested. The lively devotion or diligence that Martha manifested. I want you to understand that Martha was doing some good things here, and if we don't understand that, we're going to really misunderstand everything about this text. This is not a woman without love to Christ. This is not a woman who does not love him, nor desire him, nor welcome him. It's a too common picture that we have of Martha, that she's just a fussy and harried housekeeper of short temper and interested in nothing but setting a good table. And I don't think that's a fair characterization of her. We see her, in a sense, getting carried away here, but I don't think that's all that Martha is. And I want us to see a little bit of what she is, first of all, before we see what actually took place. Notice even, this text focuses on Martha. The whole account seems to bring her out. There is Mary at the feet of Christ, but she's referred to as Martha's sister. The whole account seems to be focused upon this woman, Martha. But notice, she was the one who gave Christ the very willing reception. As they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She gave him a good reception. She opened her house up to Christ. Christ has now set his face to go toward Jerusalem, toward the cross. And even as he himself has said already in this gospel account, those who receive me receive him who sent me. And we begin to see a picture of one who is receptive to Christ. Christ has set his face to do the work. And this house is now opened up to that Christ who is going to accomplish the work on the cross. She greets him. She is glad to have him present. She is glad to open up her home and minister to him. And not only is she glad to receive him and welcome him, but we see that she's quite active about it. It doesn't appear that she's doing anything halfway about her ministry. Even though it appears in the context of a woman distracted, we are told that she was engaged in much serving. Nothing halfway. Whatever she did, she put her hands to. And we don't get any impression that at the very beginning that she did this in a begrudging way. That there was kind of a natural ardor for her to engage and do what she could for Christ. She wanted to do him good. She was interested in helping him, interested in showing hospitality to him and those who were with him. I believe she was overjoyed at his presence, glad that he was there. That there's nothing indicated that Martha herself is just simply just going about this in some kind of, out of just some kind of duty itself. It was a reasonable, it was a lawful service that she was doing. She was doing Christ good. And in the midst of this scene, we find her active and we find her sister, Mary, in verse 39, listening to the Lord's word, hearing what the Lord said sitting at his feet. That's the scene that we have. It's a scene of two activities. It's a scene of one woman very active, a woman very diligent in terms of Christ's presence, and another woman who is, as it were, taking advantage of Christ's presence, sitting at His feet and listening. One who we might say is involved in that active diligence of the Christian life, the other one in the contemplation and meditation of the Christian life, listening to Christ and His Word. But I want us to look in the second place, and I'm going to move a little faster so we can get to the lesson. I want us to look at the lamentable distraction that she suffered. In the midst of really probably what began well, it soured quickly. It soured quickly. In the midst of this devotion, there was a flaw. We're told the fact of her distraction in verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, literally with her much serving. The wording literally is this: she was pulled away. That's the whole, she was being pulled away. She was being drawn away by everything that she was doing. And the question we might ask, even by the very verb that is used, is drawn away from what? Pulled away from what? And the idea that we get is she begins in the midst of her serving of Christ, in the midst of all her concern about all of those preparations, she's being pulled away and drawn away from the very one she was seeking to serve. And this is what begins to take place. She was diligent. There appears to be an outward devotion, but she was distracted. It was getting the best of her, really, is what began to take place. And it was keeping the best from her, and it was about to bring out the worst in her. In fact, being devoted to her duties, she began to be drawn away from the Lord and even her sister. Bishop Hall, in his excellent little work, says she was being divided from herself even. She was getting pulled away. She was getting drawn away. And just an initial observation, in the midst of our devotions, don't we know this? Haven't we experienced this? Martha is not a strange case or a strange duck. And it doesn't happen just simply in setting a table. It doesn't happen in showing hospitality or having friends over. It happens in all of our activities, isn't it? As we seek to serve the Lord, as we seek to be faithful in the work, as we ourselves are devoted, haven't we known from time to time, more often than we would even want to admit, that we have found ourselves drawn away, that we have found ourselves distracted in the midst of the work, that our own hearts have become divided? Haven't we found that not only in the common duties of life, where we're being faithful as husbands and wives and children and employees, but even as servants in the church, or even as worshipers before the Lord, as we come in, even as we are engaged, as it were, ourselves drawn away, hearts divided because of all kinds of things? Haven't we known that? Martha's not a strange case. She's not a new case. In the midst of it, she found herself drawn away. And notice the effect of it. Notice the effect of being drawn away. We'll speak about the cause of it. But I want you to notice the effect of what it produced. Because it begins to take place in the heart. Her heart begins to be divided. But a divided heart begins to manifest itself. And as oftentimes it does in the case of the heart, it's heard in the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we hear the divided heart now beginning to speak. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. She's disturbed. In her distraction now, she's disturbed. She's exasperated. It appears that she really can't hold it in any longer. And she complains to the Lord. And notice the very nature of the complaint. The complaint of the Lord is, Lord, don't you care? Already now, the high thoughts and esteem that she had of the Lord are beginning to be challenged. A heart so divided and distracted now is beginning to wonder about the care and the concern, the kindness and the generosity of the Lord Himself. Lord, don't you care? She accuses Him in a certain sense of being indifferent. And notice, not only is her heart divided off from her Lord, but her heart is divided off from her sister. She says, she has left me alone. Whereas she maybe at one time again had high thoughts and gentle thoughts and sweet thoughts of her own sister as they themselves were devoted to the Lord. Now not only is she set against the Lord in concern for His indifference, now she sees her sister as being indifferent and leaving her to herself. She's beginning to be divided from them both. I need help and she's not helping me. I need help and you're not telling her to help me. And notice not only that, but she comes demanding. She not only now is not like Mary who is sitting at the feet of Christ listening to what Christ has to say, but now she takes up Martha to command Christ, tell her to help me. This is an amazing thing. This is what begins to take place when the heart becomes divided. What happens? We lose the joy of service. That's the first thing that takes place. When our hearts begin to be divided, when they begin to get drawn away, we begin to lose the joy of what we're doing. We're just simply doing it. What else is manifested? The joy of the Lord Himself is lost. The sense of His pleasure, the sense of His kindness, the sense of His mercies toward us. And again, we begin to have hard thoughts toward Him, even in the midst of our labor. This is how often it's manifested. And not only that, but we often become critical, censorious of others and their ministry or their lack of ministry, either to us or to others. Notice what begins to take place. No joy any longer in the work, but exasperation. A lack of confidence and delight in the Lord Himself. And she begins to look down upon her sister and what she is doing or not doing. Oftentimes that's what takes place. We begin because of our own distractedness of heart. We begin to lose all of these things. And notice who becomes the focus of the whole matter. It's me. She brings herself too much into this situation where she was devoting herself all to the Lord, welcoming Him and serving Him. Now notice by her very wording, everything is back upon me. And that's what begins to take place. A divided heart separates itself from the joy of the labor, the delight of the Lord, the esteem of the saints, and even begins to promote myself. And we just see this worked out in poor Martha's life. And beloved, it gets worked out in our lives in the same way. We begin to challenge the Lord. We begin to complain about our brothers and sisters, and we get all consumed about ourselves. And this is what took place. Well, it is a good thing that the Lord Jesus Christ gives her an answer. Because this is all too common with us. And so it is good to hear the Lord's loving directive. And that's what I want to focus on. The Lord's loving directive. The Lord is sympathetic toward her, but He's firm. He doesn't necessarily give her a hard rebuke. Lady, just get out of my face. That there is this patience, this long suffering. The Lord understands what's taking place here. And it's a glorious thing as you think of the Lord again. He knows our weakness. He knows our frame. And He begins to set a word toward her. And He speaks to her. He first of all just points out the cause. What is happening? The seducing principle that has taken her away. And then He gives to her, as it were, the cure. He tells her the cause, the seducing principle. He tells her what's wrong. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. You're well intended, but it's ill attended with so many other thoughts. He doesn't rebuke her for her work. He doesn't say, lady, you shouldn't have been setting the table. You shouldn't have welcomed me in. He doesn't direct his reproof to her labor or her service. That's not where her fault lay. He says this, it's not that you were busy, it's that you were bothered. It's not that you were working, but you were worried. It's not that you were active, but you're full of anxiety. You're preoccupied. In the midst of your service and your deeds toward me, you got distracted, you got laywayed by other things. In the midst of serving me, you lost the sight of the principal and prime thing. In the midst of the ordinary events or affairs of life, you got seduced from the simplicity and purity of devotion to me. You got divided away because of all of these things that could be legitimate. And that's the problem many times. Things are legitimate. Things are lawful. And we think because something is legitimate and lawful, then it's all right in a certain sense maybe to give ourselves in excess to them. Because they're not wrong. But in a certain sense, they can pull us away too. Good things, lawful things in terms of service. We can be taken away. And we can, her service began to be soured when she allowed her heart to be divided by many lesser things. And it can happen to us. This life and all of its activities can divide us up. There is a legitimacy to being devoted as husbands and wives and children and students and all that God would call us to in our callings. But we have to be careful with an over-concern about the things of this life. We're told in Luke 8:14 that they can choke the Word of God. A concern for the things of this life can choke the Word of God in our life. It can divert us. Even those good and legitimate things can divert us, we're told in Luke 12:22, from seeking the kingdom first. We're told in Luke 21:34 that it can leave us unprepared for His coming. And so all these legitimate things we have to be careful of. We have to take heed about this. What if I stepped over the line? I mean, sometimes you can know you stepped over the line if you've lost the joy. You can know you stepped over the line if all of a sudden your delight in the Lord is lost and you begin to look at the service or the lack of it of others, or you yourself become so preoccupied with what is happening to you. But I'll say just maybe simply, you know you've stepped over the line whenever that labor and whatever that service is becomes the main thing and it takes precedence over the one thing needful. When it becomes the main thing, when your ministry becomes the main thing, where your household becomes the main thing, where your family becomes the main thing, when your health becomes the main thing, when all of those things become the main thing, you stepped over the line already. And the Lord here is beginning to say, listen, there is just one thing. And here's the cure. Here is the direction that He gives. This is the sanctifying perspective. And maybe I'll just do one thing necessary and is good. Three words. This is the simplifying perspective of the Christian life. This is what we need to understand. One thing is necessary and it is good and it will never be taken away. And Christ is very gracious as He deals with her, as He basically tells her, one thing is necessary. This is what you need. You need a sanctified perspective, Martha, in the midst of all your labors. And there's a contrast here. There's a contrast between all the many things that Martha was concerned about and the one thing she should have been concerned about. That's what He begins to do. He sets it in contrast. One thing. There is to be a priority preoccupation of God's people. There is to be a priority preoccupation of God's people in everything that they do. First of all, He says, one thing. One thing. That's a focusing word. If it's just one thing, it's not many things. If it's one thing, it simplifies. And it's a glorious thing when Jesus says, one thing. The Christian life is to some degree, is a simple life because it's a single-minded life. It is a life that is focused on the Lord Himself. It's a single matter. It is to be consumed with one thing. There is a blessed simplicity about being consumed with the pursuit of one thing, the prizing of one thing, the looking after one thing, and the one thing is the knowing Jesus Christ and the hearing of His Word. That is the one thing that is necessary and good. One thing, He says, in the midst of all your labors that are good, do not lose sight of this one thing. You get distracted and you're all messed up. It is knowing Me and it is hearing and listening to My Word. It's very simple. It's a simplifying word. It's to set our minds on the one thing, the main thing, the plain thing, the simple thing, the single thing, and it is to be that. Hearing Christ's Word. That's what Mary was doing. She was at the feet of Christ. She was there in anticipation. She was there with a listening ear, an attentive ear, and she was listening to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jesus says that's the one thing, but notice he also says it's the necessary thing. This is a weighing word. The one is a focusing word. It just takes our eyes off of everything else, but necessary is now a word that brings everything else. It allows us to weigh everything else that comes into our lives. We're to have that one thing focus, and then we're to take everything else, and we're going to weigh it with this word here, that he says, one thing is necessary. One thing is absolutely, essentially, priority. Has the priority in your life. It's not that nothing else is necessary, but really nothing else is more necessary than this. This is the necessity that overrides all other necessities. This is the necessity that precedes everything else. This is the necessity that governs everything else. This is the necessity that makes everything else in life that appears to be a necessity an accessory. It is to know Christ and it is to hear His Word. It's all directed toward this. This is the necessary thing. So when I begin to take all those other things that are essential and vital in my life, I weigh them up against this great and single necessity that he speaks about. The Christian's life is directed toward supreme matters. It is directed toward things that are greater than the world is ever concerned about. Things like life and death, heaven and hell, eternal glory, the kingdom of God, the will of God, the Son of God, the work of God, the pleasure of God. All of these things are what our lives are really to be focused upon. And all of those things are found in terms of Christ and His Word. To come to Christ, to listen to His Word, to receive Christ, this is the necessary thing. Of all things that are necessary in all the world, it is necessary if I am to live with God, to have acceptance with God, that I have the forgiveness of God. And the only way that I am to have the forgiveness of God is to come to Christ. It is to receive His word of pardon. What I need if I'm going to have peace with God, if I'm to have a new nature, if I'm to have a new heart, then I must come to Christ. If I need grace to grow in holiness and sanctification, I need to come to Christ. Everything else, in a sense, is not essential to these things. If I need strength to worship, if I need strength to serve, then I need to come to Him in whom is all my strength. If I want my ignorance removed of things eternal, if I need my ignorance removed of things that are essential and important to apply myself to the life, then I need to go to Christ in His Word. I need to listen and find what are the priorities, what are the essentials of life, that I can take the common duties of life and then put them in to the proper scale. I need to come to Christ. I need to listen to His Word. And this is it. It's this whole idea. This is the soul of our living and serving. It's fellowship with Christ through His Word, learning of Him and from Him in His truth. This is what Christ said is necessary. Martha, you just placed more value on preparing a table than you did on serving your soul. And this is where He's seeking to redirect her. This is the first thing. Are riches needful? Really? Is learning of the things of this world needful? Really? Is nobility, friends, all of those kinds of things, are those really the needful things? The needful thing, Jesus says to Martha, and as He would remind us, no, the needful thing of all things that you will do in this life, is that you might listen to Me and My Word. Spurgeon said it this way. He said, the first thing for our soul's health, the first thing for His glory, and the first thing for our own usefulness is to keep ourselves in perpetual communion with the Lord Jesus and to see that the vital spirituality of our religion is maintained over and above everything else in the world. That's the first work. That's the necessary work. That's the great soul work that is to be the soul of all of our service and our activities for the Lord. Notice what he says. He says it's the one thing. That's the focusing word. It's necessary. That's the weighing word. But notice what he says about it. Mary has chosen the good part. It's a good thing. It's a beneficial thing. It's the main thing. It's the absolutely necessary and priority and essential thing, and it is a good thing. Mary has come to listen and to learn from Christ, to hear His words, and Jesus says this is commendable, this is beneficial. Here she is, you see, now at the feet of Christ. She's taken up this posture of appreciation. She knows that it is at His feet. She knows it is listening to Him and His words that her life is found. She knows that listening to Him is a good thing, and nothing really is good apart from that. She knows that His nearness is her good, His word is her good, and her life. Notice, it's a posture really, I suppose, we get the sense that there must be adoration here as well. Supreme affection for Christ. She loves Him, and therefore she wants to hear this one who loves her, what He has to say. It's a posture certainly of attention. She was listening to the Lord's Word. She's undistracted. She's just solely preoccupied with what He has to say. She's not going to let a single word that Christ has to say fall to the ground. And notice it else, and we would understand that she's just not just simply there just to listen, but she desires not only to hear it and to appreciate it, but also to appropriate it, to take what Christ says, and to walk away with those things. Jesus says that will never be taken away from her. She's never going to lose that. And we can understand that in several ways. And some just take it just simply like this. Martha, I'm not going to take Mary away from listening to me. That may be the idea, but I think more the whole idea is just simply this. Is that what Mary gains at the feet of Christ listening to Him will never be taken away. The profit that she gains in hearing Christ is an eternal profit. The temporal hearing, the maybe the minutes that she spent at the feet of Jesus Christ is going to bear her fruit for the rest of her days. That's what he's saying. That's not going to be taken away. It's profitable. It's permanent fruit. It's going to stick with her. It's going to be with her. It's going to profit her forever. Many are content, right? Many of us are content just simply to listen to words that aren't going to profit us. Many of us will just stick our faces maybe in the internet, maybe on the webs, maybe on the TV, maybe in certain books, and we will hear words, we will read words, but there will be none of those words that will essentially and eternally profit us, none of them as the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're prone to sit and listen to lesser things. And basically what Jesus says is, listen, you listen to me. You devote yourself attentively to me. You appropriate my word and it will be to your eternal profit and welfare. Well, what is the application of all of that? Where in the world do God's people come to sit and to hear Christ speak? Well, let me tell you, right here, right where you are. This is where it's at. This is where it's at. I am not saying that you cannot come to the feet of Jesus Christ in the private place and worship Him and be devoted to Him and open up His Word of truth and by the illumination of the Spirit of God and humble dependency, seek and listen to Him. But I will tell you, this is the place. In a certain sense, I can say confidently that this is the one thing needful. This is the necessity above all other necessities. This ought to be the priority above all other priorities. And this is what is designed for your eternal welfare and good more than anything else on earth. It is to come and it is to hear the word of God. That is what worshiping is. Mary sang no songs to Jesus at His feet. She listened to Him. And that is the highest worship that God can be given. It's when we bow our hearts and our ears to hear Him speak. And beloved, that is what is taking place when we come together. This is the priority. This is the one thing needful. This is what shall never be taken away from you if you come as Mary came. As you come out of an appreciation and an esteem of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you come with an eagerness to hear and to appropriate and pray that by God's grace you might be assimilated even by the very things you hear, formed into the very image of Christ Himself through the preaching of Christ and through the Word of Christ. This is the main and necessary thing. This is the good part. This is what will not ever be taken away from you. The words that you hear here and embrace here, this is to your eternal good. Beloved, we ought to come and we ought to think about the privilege that we have. We ought to think in the midst of all of our labors, for all of us have been doing our table serving and all of that throughout the midst of the week. And we ought to have an anticipation, and I'm obviously focusing and making application with regard to our weekly worship, but we ought to come and saying, this is how I keep the focus. This is how I keep my priority straight. This is how I, in the midst of all of the callings and demands of the life that is upon me as a Christian, that I am able to come and begin to put them back all into the balance, because it is here that I come. It's here that I get my bearings back and straight. Have you been busy this week? I trust that you have. Have you been faithful this week? I trust that most of you have. Have you been distracted this week? I'll bet dollars to donuts, $1 million on every single soul here that you've been distracted this week. Then that's why we gather on this day. It's that we might come and for a moment at least become distracted by Him who is so worthy, that we can go forth having considered His worthiness and having considered His Word, that we can go out and serve preoccupied with Him. And that is the reason we seek it. Maybe I can give you some practical helps in this thing and just give you a couple of counsels in closing. Some of you might be watching your watches and saying he's going to finish soon. Well, that's true. What a wonderful thing. You ought to rejoice. No, you wouldn't want to. Pray that the Spirit of God would open your own eyes to the one thing needful in all your engagements. Pray, Lord, you know what? I am busy. And in a certain sense, we can say, I love the activity. I love the labor. But Lord God, let me love you and your word above it all. Because it is you and your word that directs it all. And it is in you and your word that I understand the perspective and the mindset for carrying it all out. And if I don't know you and if I don't know your word, then all of the labor is going to sour eventually. Oh Lord, open my eyes, unite my heart to fear your name, to love your word, and to love you. Second, if you want to know what's important and what is main and plain, then labor to maintain what some of the old Puritans said, a last day perspective. Consider this is your last day, and then you'll know what's necessary. Consider that you have no more time, you're about to enter the grave, and it will be very apparent if you begin to think very long and hard, or even just a little briefly, it will be very apparent to you what is needful at that point. What is needful as I'm thinking about the grave is not whether I made the house payment today, or whether the dog is fed. No, what is really needful at this point is my soul cleansed? Is my soul pardoned? Am I right with the living God? Do I, when I fall into that grave and that body goes into the dust, will I be covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith in Him? Do I know Him? Am I accepted of God in Him? That's what is really important. Will I see Him and enjoy Him and know Him? Or will I enter into eternity as it were a stranger to Him? Because He's been a stranger even in all my service. Endeavor, thirdly, to arrive at a proper balance of things, spiritual and temporal. Comparing them, labor and Lord, seek the Lord even daily for perspective about the very things that you're about to do. Lord, give me a sense of their value, of their weight in terms of applying myself. Help me to discern time and place and activity. And purpose, fourth, as Mary, to make the right choice. Resolve to be like her, whether it's daily or weekly, that you will come to the feet of Christ. You will listen to His Word. You will draw near to Him at His feet. And then, finally and very simply, come often to hear Christ's word. This is what he commends here. Too often we make excuses, maybe like Martha's, and they're not really very good. We don't neglect the opportunities that you have to sit and hear his word. Because that is the one thing, that is the necessary thing, that is the good thing that will never be taken away from you. Everything else is going to be taken away. Everything else of this world is going to be taken away, but not the words of Christ. And not the grace that comes through those words. May we be people in the midst of our service and our activity, as we are faithful who have not become distracted and divided of heart. And may we understand that many times the cure for our distraction is the very things that are very simple appointments before us, the worship that we have together on such days as this. Our Father in heaven, would you give us a delight, give us a heart to esteem and to prize your word as it comes. Christ, we know that this scripture is your word, given to us that we might grow, that we might have life, that we might be sanctified, that we might be enlightened, that we might be directed, that we might be helped, that we might have grace in the time of need. Lord, your word is full. It's a treasury for us. It equips us for every good work. Lord, it furnishes us with all that we need. Lord, it enlightens us to your promises. It strengthens our souls with its hope. Lord God, it enables us to get perspective in the midst of the things that we face. Lord, it directs our steps. It keeps us in the way. Oh God, may our hearts be directed into your word. Lord, may we prize your word. May we esteem it. May we hold fast to it. And Lord God, may we as a people esteem the seasons and opportunities we have to come as a people and to listen to Christ as he would speak to his church through his word and by his spirit. Lord God, will you show mercy to us? Lord, we confess that we are often distracted in our service. Lord, we desire to be better servants. We desire to be more energetic and more self-denying even than we are. Father, we know that we have not yet labored as we ought. We are unworthy servants at best. And yet, O God, we pray that you will help us in that service, even as we would mount up with new resolve and new zeal, that you would revive our hearts into that service. But God also, that in the midst of it, we would not forget the soul of it, which is Christ our Lord and the word that he gives. Lord, we love you. We love your truth, for it is through your truth that we know you. It is through your truth that you speak to us. Oh God, help us. I pray for those who are visiting. Lord God, for those who might be strangers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would understand above all things that it is needful that they have Christ. Christ's blood shed, cleansing them. Washing away every stain and defilement of soul and spirit. God, that they need Christ and his righteousness, his perfect obedience, his completed work on Calvary's cross, if they would ever be accepted of God, that there is nothing that they can do, either through effort or deed or word to commend themselves to God, that it is only in and through Christ alone that there is acceptance with him. That God, that they would come to that Christ, that they would bow to that Christ. Lord, that they would receive that Christ as the Redeemer of their sins, as the Savior of their souls. Lord, as the hope of their salvation. Oh God, will you show mercy to the hearers here? Lord, stir us up. Enable us to prize your word. Oh Father, we are grateful for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.